As a child, we lived in a house that had bees in the chimney, and they would come down, particularly in autumn. I have these very strong memories of must have been the drones who were being kicked out of the hive, crawling across the floor in the hundreds and thousands. And so the bees lived in the chimney, and we lived in the bedrooms. Until one day the honey started running down the walls, and my parents said, "Right, enough is enough." And they tried to block up the chimney, and the bees weren't having any of it. But the weird thing was that nobody got stung. Night after night, little children scampering, I'm one of seven, scampering across the floors, and there were always bees on the windows, and there were always bees on the floor, and there were always bees flying around the place. I think the main thing I noticed was that they were so different, but they had a sense of purpose. They knew what they were doing. I didn't understand it. I didn't understand how they communicated. I didn't understand how they managed to fly. I quite wanted to be able to fly too. I didn't understand the mechanism that they organized themselves, that got food or survived winters. I didn't know as much as I do now, and it's still I had still a lot to learn. I looked at this very different thing and I thought, the world is full of completely different organisms and we need to know about them. When the recession came, I decided on a new career and decided to start farming. My name is Aelva Gerard and I farm on Brookfield Farm, which runs down to the shores of Lough Derg, which is the biggest lake on the Shannon, which is the biggest river in Ireland, draining about a third of the country. I'm looking down quite a steep slope towards Lough Derg, so you can see quite a wide swathe of water. And when we get higher, you're going to be able to see the whole lake from Killaloe to Portumna. And across is the hills of Clare, going on and on and on into the distance. And on a fine day, you can see the wind farm at Derry Bryan and all sorts of things. It's very farming. It's very farming orientated. There's green fields, a lot of trees, hedgerows, and a few crows flying around. Down to the left, there's a lot of stand of beautiful beeches, and then bright green, and which are the grass fields, and then the stubble fields are in yellow, and then goes right down to the lake shore, which runs north-south. So at the top of the hill, there's broadleaf forestry. There's 15 acres. Then I have about 25 acres of crops. I have winter barley in at the moment, so it's all in stubbles. And I have 10 acres of wildflowers, which in the winter it forms the wild bird cover. So there's 10 acres that I've put in a kind of a landscape strip. So it goes from the top of the hill, running all the way down to the lake. So you can see a kind of a river of biodiversity. At the moment, it's full of seed-eating birds, all the finches and linnets, who absolutely love the. I've got triticale standing in, and then there's the last of the flax. You've got these beautiful blue flowers, and earlier in the summer, you have the mustards, and you have the crimson clovers, and you have phacelia, and you have dozens of other kinds of flowers. So it's full of pollinators. And above those, in the summer, you have the swallows and all the insect-eating birds coming in. So also, I have 10 acres about of organically certified land that I run a sheep enterprise on. They know me quite well and run up to get their ears scratched and their noses in my Wellingtons. Broadleaf trees produce very high quality timber. I'm doing a project with Letterfrack to look at adding value to small diameter hardwood. Also, I produce honey, quite a lot of honey. But one of the other things I think is really important that I produce, what I do produce is, I like to think, an understanding between people living in towns and cities and what I'm doing on the farm. So I do a lot of open days. I bring people to see what I'm doing. I have demonstrations about, I did horse logging on the farm when I thinned it. So there was a big Belgian Ardennes horse. It pulled out big long trunks. It took about 100 tons of wood out. There's a lot that comes from the farm, but most important is a sort of a reconnection between farmers and what we're doing and what consumers understand. And I want to sort of bring us back more closer in closer understanding and appreciation of each other. Okay, so what we have here is we have the honey and it's all lined up. It's been jarred and it's in stacks, as you can see. So here we have a jar of the honey from my hives. And we're very proud because last year we won finalist at Glossna Heron 2017. So even though it's 2018, I'm still sticking all the stickers on. So what it is, it's I have it in different jars, but because this is my very special, very, very favourite honey, I have it in a clip-top jar for giving as gifts to family and friends. So it is a crystallised at the moment, and that's naturally what happens with raw honey, because my honey is raw. And it comes exactly out of the hive, it's extracted, and then it is put into jars. So there's nothing done to it. It isn't even filtered as much as you might expect honey to be. You can see it's got a sort of a creamy look. So all you have to do is heat it a little bit and it'll go runny and golden again. Some people prefer the crystallized though. The orchard, when I took over this little cottage with an orchard and an ancient woodland behind, you couldn't even see there was an orchard. I had to, I guessed it was there, it was hidden behind loads of scrub. And it was 3 years ago. So the first winter, I had a digger in, carefully working, pulling out scrub and chainsawing. And then little by little, and reseeding around the orchard and the paddock, and little by little, we eventually found these beautiful old trees, which are absolutely gorgeous. At the moment there's 16 trees. Some of them have fallen over and they're at funny angles. They all have different varieties. There's cookers, there's eaters, there's early eaters. There's the eaters that you have to store. And you can see over here, there's a really wonderful tree that's actually still full of apples. So what we do is we pick the apples every year and we press them. So for the winter time we have lots of fantastic apple juice. Being the wood in front of us, there are a couple of really enormous badger sets. And it's really lovely to see them. They make a little tracks down, they pick up the apples, bring them back, we eat them there. And the birds love it as well. So here I've just picked an apple and off the tree. It's a lovely red one, and somebody's got there before me. Some blackbird has obviously had a good peck at it. It's really juicy, really juicy. Slightly tart, so it's obviously one of the keeper eaters that you keep for a while. But it's really refreshing and gorgeous. It's really good. A line that's used, which is that farmers are the custodians of the landscape. We need to understand what that means, and what we need to do is, yes, of course you need to produce, but you're in a system which means that you are trying to produce at lower and lower cost, and that is not a strategy. It's not a business strategy, because I used to work in business. It's not a business strategy that can work long term. So what we have to do as farmers overall is look for different markets. So instead of producing a commodity like meat and milk for export, what we need to be doing is looking at reaching consumers directly, not necessarily for all our produce, but for some of it, and having add-ons that can give extra income. So you're not reliant on a single customer like the co-op or the factory, because you're very vulnerable in that position.
Right, I'm going to hop over the fence here. So now we've walked into the native woodland and this space has been cleared so we can plant in some native oak. It was one of the requirements for the native woodland scheme that they wanted coupes. So this is, we're looking at a clear space in the ash forest here, 20 metres by 20 metres. And in about a month, we're going to put in some oak. I find that people are very calm when they're walking through woods. I find it with horses as well. If a horse is nervy or flighty. If you walk them through a wood, they really calm down. It's an amazing thing to be in a wood, because you can looking up, you're seeing the crowns of the trees swaying around, you're seeing the trunks, you're seeing loads of little birds. They're all hopping around having great fun. And this space has been, it's unusual in a woodland to have a cleared space. So it feels quite exotic to have a space that's empty. And what the plan is to put in the native oak, so because they support so many species, and the oak has actually been out-competed in this particular wood. So the idea is to put it back in so it can get it, to give it a new start, because oak supports about 200 species, which is quite something.
Individually, farmers are doing their best on their farms within the constraints of their knowledge. But as a farmer myself, I know that I can't see the bigger picture, and that's why it's really important to have information from surveys and environmentalists. For instance, Lough Derg, which my farm runs down to, it's been assessed as water quality poor. I wouldn't necessarily know that, because things quality can change, and I wouldn't necessarily realize that. So it's important to have an external scientific method of telling me what's happening. What you could do on the farm, I would say keep hedgerows as much as possible and put more in. Consider agroforestry. And the other thing is, don't be afraid of wildlife. There seems to be a sort of a fear, perhaps, that animals and insects are going to deplete your harvest and take away your money. I don't think that's necessarily true. I've been on some farms which are very intensive, particularly in the UK, but have specific things for wildlife, like arable margins and looking after hedgerows. And it hasn't in any way affected their bottom line. In fact, things have improved for them economically. And also, there's a huge satisfaction. There's a genuine satisfaction in feeling that you're doing a bit better for wildlife. And every farmer I've met has never regretted putting a bit more attention into understanding a bit more of the insects and the animals that are living on the land that you're farming. Because remember, it's not our land, it's their land too.